You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to This Day in History with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, This Day in History. If you're not familiar with the concept, I pull a bunch of stuff off YouTube and take credit for it. So today we're looking at 1957, which was the date that Egyptian President Gamal Nasser reopened the Suez Canal after a brief war with a coalition of Israel, United Kingdom, and France. So this had all started. Nasser comes to power in Egypt. He wants to build a dam, then the Anwar Dam, which he did eventually build. He wanted to get a bunch of money from it from the West. They said no, they didn't trust him. They thought he was too close to the Soviet Union. So instead he nationalized the Suez Canal, which is this very important shipping lane. If you don't have it, you have to go all the way around Africa to get your oil. So that angered the West, and that they then tried to invade him and force him from power.
From Alexandria, Egypt, Movietone News brings you the latest incident to upset the chancelleries of the free world. President Nasser delivering his fiery speech telling of his nationalization of the Suez Canal. A seizure from private interests that the Egyptian says is his answer to the West for refusing to finance the Aswan Dam. It's a situation fraught with implications. But undeterred, President Nasser raises his country's flag to symbolize his action. And although his followers hail him and carry him triumphantly on their shoulders, in London, Paris, and Washington, the fate of the strategic waterway causes grave concern. A lifeline between the East and West, the free world does not want it dependent on the Egyptian government, which sends U.S. Undersecretary of State Murphy to London, where he is interviewed on the crisis by British pressmen.
Have you brought any plan with you for action against Egypt?
I can only say that we are going to engage in these conversations with our friends here and explore the matter.
Arriving in the Egyptian capital from Alexandria, where he proclaimed his seizure of the Suez Canal Company, President Nasser finds Cairo's population in a veritable nationalistic frenzy. An acclaiming multitude which escorts him like a hero to the presidential palace, where he delivers another fiery speech in answer to opposition to his provocative action. Action which brings U.S. Secretary of State Dulles flying to London, where the English wait in the rain to see another momentous conference get underway at 10 Downing Street. It's a three-power meeting with France, the third party, and the talks tend to favor international rule for the canal, with a bid to Russia to take a part. In Cairo, President Nasser's top aide, Wing Commander Ali Sabri, explains Egypt's challenge to the West by its seizure of the Suez Canal, but pays no heed to protests as his country drafts plans for a general mobilization. A threatening gesture that sees French, British, and U.S. forces in the Mediterranean spring to activity, as here at Toulon, the great French naval base, where a fleet has gotten ready to steam Suezward. While in England, naval reservists converge on Plymouth to man three aircraft carriers that Britain is dispatching to the troubled waterway. A precautionary measure in the event of Egypt's refusal to attend the 24-nation meeting called to internationalize the seized canal. Regiments of paratroopers, too, are on the move, as here at Portsmouth. For each of the three British flat tops sailing to the Mediterranean will be loaded with these most modern of fighting units, as the West, challenged again, faces the facts.
Yes, and the West's response would be a brief war with Egypt. This was halted because at this point, America hadn't fully sort of swung behind Israel. They were sort of trying to court the Arab world to a degree. So they would eventually convince the coalition to stop, but until then, there was a brief conflict.
After weeks of stalemate, the Suez crisis bursts dramatically into the news again, for Israel has invaded Egypt. Britain and France have declared the canal in danger, and British and French troops are on the move. Background to these startling events is the running sore of the Israel-Egypt frontier, which has been a theater of sporadic warfare ever since the Israeli state came into being. For For many years, even the village schools in the frontier settlements have known that at any moment, death may be looking over their shoulder. Israeli patrols have been permanently on the watch for any move from the Egyptian side. For Israel's Arab neighbors have never been reconciled to her existence. Every few weeks, the farmers' daily round has been interrupted by sudden clashes for which neither side has been without blame. Meanwhile, in Egypt, the steadily growing power of the regime which overthrew Farouk has been evident to the world. The Western nations, thinking of the Suez Canal, watched uneasily. Egypt turned eastwards for her supplies of arms, and Russia's Foreign Minister Shapilov found Nasser a ready customer. But with every man and woman trained, Israel's strength too was growing, and the danger of a major flare-up increased. The frontier raids continued. Sooner or later, the explosion must come. At last, without warning, Israel strikes. General Moshe Dayan, one-eyed commander-in-chief, orders the tanks into action. Israeli forces sweep across the frontier into the Egyptian desert, while Premier Ben-Gurion declares general mobilization. Within hours, the leading Israeli columns are driving towards the canal. Britain and France react at once with an ultimatum. Stop the fighting or we march in. Israel accepts if Egypt will, but Egypt flatly refuses. The world waits tensely to see whether the British flag will fly once more over Suez.
It would not, but the Kuwait Canal would eventually be reopened under Egyptian control, where it has remained, and it would be reopened on this day in history, 1957.
The lifting of the last major obstacle in the Suez Canal was watched by United Nations officials Dr. Bunch and Mr. Hammarskjöld, together with the emergency force commander General Burns. The vessel was the Edgar Bonney, which was sunk last November when Colonel Nasser sabotaged the canal. The job was a difficult one. She's reported to have had explosives on board, but eventually they got her up. Astonishing what grows on a ship underwater out there in a few months, a bumper harvest. Anyway, the canal was now ready for navigation by big ships. Apart from the political angle, that is.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.